This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. It's good to have you with us here today. 7 million people are facing famine and starvation in Yemen. It's just one crisis in the 2.5 years of war in Yemen. 10,000 civilians have been killed. 2 million people have been displaced. And the International Red Cross estimates that 1 million Yemenis may be infected with cholera by the end of the year. The story of this war is often told as a conflict pitting the central government in Yemen against the Houthi rebels, the rebels backed by Iran, the government backed by Saudi Arabia. And it's true, but that story and the way it's told here misses something critical to this war, the United States. In just a minute, we'll look at how and why America's intimate role in Yemen gets left out of news coverage. But first, we turn to Iona Craig, an investigative journalist who's covered the conflict in Yemen extensively. Welcome.
Good to talk to you.
Iona, Yemen is known to many Americans as ground zero for the U.S. drone war. It's where Anwar al-Awlaki was killed. How has U.S. involvement there changed from the days right after 9/11? Is the United States still fighting the war on terror as we know it in Yemen?
Yes, it is. But I think what's changed predominantly on that front is who they're supporting to do that, to fight that counterterrorism war, and how it's being carried out. So under the Obama administration, going back and even before then, it was always through supporting the former president of Yemen, Saleh, with training and funding of counterterrorism troops locally, as well as, of course, the drone program with airstrikes and even naval bombardments. Now, because of the current conflict in Yemen, that has changed a lot. All of those counterterrorism forces now are actually fighting against the US-backed forces in Yemen. And all that training that was used in Yemen over many decades has been effectively turned against US allies now in Yemen. So now the United Arab Emirates are the main forces that the U.S. is supporting. But most notably, under the Trump administration, the amount of airstrikes and drone strikes and military operations on the ground has escalated massively.
Well, Iona, I want to be very clear about what you just said, because it's remarkable. The forces on the ground in Yemen that the United States has been using for many years to counter al-Qaeda cells in Yemen, they've essentially switched sides. And now that the U.S. is backing Saudi Arabia and its proxies in Yemen, the people that we trained and that we armed and that we funded are now fighting against us.
Absolutely. That's the case on the ground at the moment. All of those forces that were trained under President Saleh are now fighting against the U.S.-backed Saudi coalition. And in addition to that, you've got al-Qaeda and Islamic State, although Islamic State is only in small numbers in Yemen, are fighting on the side of the Saudi coalition right now on the ground. So, yeah, on both sides now, you've got al-Qaeda on the side of effectively the U.S., on paper at least, whilst the counterterrorism troops that they trained are fighting against U.S. interests.
So talk a little bit more about how the American role then has changed since the start of this proxy war in Yemen, since 2015.
Well, the most crucial part of that has been on two fronts, really. Since the Saudis became involved militarily in Yemen in March 2015, the U.S. has played a key role in supporting Saudi Arabia and the coalition of regional nations that have been involved both in the air war and the ground war. So the U.S. role in that has been historically of obviously selling weapons over many, many years to Saudi Arabia in the form of hundreds of millions of dollars worth of weapons to Saudi Arabia. And this is the first modern war that Saudi Arabia has fought, the first time they've had a chance to use these weapons. But also, most crucially, logistically, the U.S. is currently refueling fighter jets of the Saudi coalition. So that's United Arab Emirates planes, fighter jets, as well as Saudi, in order for them to be able to carry out those bombing runs. And in addition to that, U.S. Navy warships have been active in the Red Sea, which is the area that the Saudi coalition has been blockading, preventing commercial food supplies and even more recently humanitarian supplies from accessing into the most densely populated area of Yemen. So that's been the most crucial aspect on the war front. On the other side, they're still carrying out drone strikes in the counterterrorism war against al-Qaeda and Islamic State, and carrying out Navy SEAL raids and supporting the UAE in their attempts to fight al-Qaeda. So the U.S. is fighting on two fronts, essentially, indirectly on one side and more directly on the other.
What you're describing, Iona, is a situation, it sounds like, where the polls have basically reversed in terms of U.S. involvement. When President Obama left office, there was a subtle but noticeable warming toward Iran with the Iran nuclear deal. The Saudis were unhappy about it. It seems now with President Trump, that warming has been completely iced over, and you can see it in Yemen and where the United States is fighting over and in Yemen.
Yes, and this has been a crucial change in language, really. Under the Obama administration, their reason for supporting the Saudi-led coalition was to reinstate President Hadi, who was forced into exile in March 2015, just before the Saudis became involved. And that was always the language that was coming out of the Obama administration. Now, what has shifted under the Trump administration is about supporting the Saudis because they see the Houthi rebels who took over large parts of the country as being a proxy for Iran. And that's the big shift. It's taking up the Saudi cause almost, if you like, of seeing the Houthis as a strong ally and a proxy of Iran. And that's obviously potentially very dangerous because what happens is it becomes something of a self-fulfilling prophecy. The Houthis were certainly politically aligned to Iran, but there was very little evidence, certainly back in 2014 and the beginning of 2015, of any real support beyond that of the Iranians. But as the Saudis have complained and used the Iranian involvement as a pretext for this conflict, it has actually resulted in more Iranian involvement, if anything. And the language now coming out of the U.S. government makes it even more likely that Iran will then use the Houthis or certainly the conflict in Yemen almost as a stick to beat the Saudis with.
Well, Iona, there's a question that Americans got used to asking themselves in conflicts like this, and I wonder if we've forgotten it. Does the United States have a clear objective in Yemen, and does it have an exit strategy?
If they do, I don't think anybody has an idea what that is. But at the moment, that relationship between the U.S. now and the Saudis has been strengthened under the Trump administration and cooled, obviously, against the Iranians. And that's really the significance in the current context of the conflict at the moment. And it could actually help extend the conflict because of that change.
Investigative journalist Iona Craig, one of the reporters bringing the world the true story on the ground in Yemen. Iona Craig, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Well, if the United States is playing such a critical role in the war in Yemen, why aren't we, American media consumers, hearing much about it? Adam Johnson is a media analyst for Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. They're a national media watchdog group. He's also host of the Citations Needed podcast. Adam, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Adam, what in your view do Americans hear about the war in Yemen versus the reality of the war in Yemen?
Well, for the most part, they don't really hear much at all in general. So the war in Yemen over the past 2.5 years or so has been pretty much ignored. And when it is mentioned, the degree of U.S. complicity and involvement in the war is either omitted entirely or trivialized or kind of thrown in a throwaway line in paragraph 19.
Now, why do you think that is? Why is it that if American media companies are aware of U.S. involvement in, say, Saudi Arabia's proxy war in Yemen, they're not reporting on it?
That's obviously a kind of a complex question, but generally speaking, when Americans aren't coming home in body bags, American media don't have a tendency to center America's involvement. Now, as you explained earlier in the show, the U.S. involvement in the war is pretty extensive, but this is not as sort of sexy or as narratively interesting as direct troop involvement, so it's typically downplayed. And there's also, of course, the ideological reasons for it, which is that U.S. corporate media in general doesn't really like to talk about U.S. involvement overseas. As a sort of general rule, it has a tendency to downplay it or obfuscate it.
Well, let's do a little bit of media analysis here because we have an example that I'd like you to react to, Adam. Listen to this clip from 60 Minutes this past weekend where the show went and did some really pretty good on-the-ground reporting in Yemen, or at least tried to. Here's Scott Pelley of 60 Minutes talking about what happened when the Saudis rescinded an invitation to visit Yemen.
David Beasley runs the World Food Program, the UN's emergency first responder to prevent famine.
We were headed into Yemen with the World Food Program. The Saudis gave us permission to come, and then when we arrived, they wouldn't let us into the country. What do you think they didn't want us to see?
I don't understand why they won't allow the world to see what's taking place, because I think if the world sees the tragedy of this human suffering, number one, the world will step up and provide the support financially for innocent children to eat.
Adam, David Beasley's been on this program. What's missing from that clip that we just heard from 60 Minutes in your view?
Well, the fact that the 60 Minutes centered an American as the hero of the crisis, I think, was another layer of obfuscation. So you have the sort of overall omission of U.S. involvement, which they didn't mention at once, which is part of a broader trend. As I noted in my piece in Fair, two Washington Post editorials and a Washington Post explainer in the past 2 weeks have completely ignored the U.S. military role in Saudi Arabia. So they not only did that, they went one step further and kind of centered an American as the hero by saying the U.S. provides the bulk of funding for the U.N. food aid program, and then centered David Beasley, an American, as the hero of the story, which is somewhat perverse, I think, without at least having a throwaway line about how the U.S. military is what has made this war possible. Bruce Rydell is a senior fellow at Brookings and a 30-year veteran of the CIA, I think put it best. He said, quote, "If the United States and the United Kingdom tonight told the King of Saudi Arabia this war has to end, it would end tomorrow. The Royal Saudi Air Force cannot operate without American and British support." So this isn't some support that is incidental. It's support that's essential and crucial and fundamental to the war itself.
But in terms of the reporting of that support, I just want to make this clear. It's information that's easily at hand to American journalists and their editors. They wouldn't have to dig down into the archives classified information.
Yeah, anyone who follows the story and follows Yemen knows that American support is essential to the war itself. And it's not something, by the way, that the media never mentions. I mean, the New York Times had an editorial last year that clearly stated America's complicity in war crimes. So this isn't something that's not known. It's just something that's often omitted. And I think if you're an American media outlet talking to American people, it's really essential that you focus and center the American involvement, since that's the thing we can do something about. And this is, I think, what makes the lack of mentioning of U.S. involvement by 60 Minutes in the Washington Post so offensive, is that the thing that we can actually do, the thing we can actually affect as Americans, is we can call congresspeople, we can write letters, we can write emails, we can, you know, lobby on social media and through other means and tell friends to lobby on social media. So when you remove the American involvement, you take away the connection between what the public can view and what they can actually do to stop the tragedy they're seeing on the TV. Because when you strip it of political context and when you strip it of American responsibility, it effectively becomes nothing more than crisis porn. All you can do is sort of hand-wring. It's what Adam Curtis calls odierism. You can sort of watch and go, well, isn't that a tragedy? So when you don't tell Americans that this is actually their government doing it, then you render them politically impotent, and it really takes the urgency out of the problem.
Well, Adam Johnson, I'm going to let you go, but before I do, point takeaway listeners in the direction of an article, a piece that you've seen that gets it right, where they can really go and find some Yemen coverage that hits the mark.
Well, there's general alternative media. I think like Democracy Now! And The Intercept have done good work on it. But there actually was an editorial, as I mentioned earlier, in the New York Times called America's Moral Duty in Yemen from October of last year that kind of scolded Obama to stop the war, that I thought was actually pretty good. It was one of the rare examples of major media putting it in clear moral terms and also placing the blame where it belongs, which is with U.S. officials and the U.S. military.
Adam Johnson with Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting and host of the Citations Needed podcast. Adam, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.